With reference to three kinds of prophetic voices, how does the authority of a prophetic messenger differ? A living prophetic voice, a deceased prophet who has left writings, a non-canonical prophet, whether dead or alive. Welcome to The Good Word. My conversation partners today are Dave Thomas and Zdravko Stefanovic from the Walla Walla University School of Theology, and our topic for today is the authority of the prophets. So, my good brothers, I'm going to toss that question out to you that we began with. Is there a difference in authority of prophetic voices? Dead, alive, canonical, non-canonical? What is the truth?
It is not an easy question, but this is how I would answer it. If the authority of a prophet is found in his or her connection with God, then there shouldn't be much difference.
Much, you say? Just a little bit?
Well, there is an interaction between the prophet and a given situation that he's addressing, and there may be a difference, let's say, in the, you know, perception of that authority. So that's why I use the term much.
But I also think there's a certain authenticity to the message of a prophet that arises from his connection or her connection with God that I think is sensed by an audience. And I think that those messages vary in their significance. And in that sense, I would say there might be a variation in authority between categories of prophets. But, you know, in other words, some of their messages are less consequential than others.
Mm-hmm. If a question, well, in theory, let me put it this way. It would be possible for there to be a live prophetic voice today, would it not?
Mm-hmm.
I would say so.
All right. If I come to the conclusion that a particular prophetic voice is true, would I not be obligated to follow that prophetic guidance?
Certainly. Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't make any difference where it came from. If I believe that it was from God, then I would need to obey. But how often is there such a thing as a prophetic voice where a person simply ceases to think, if you say so, must be true.
But the Alden, right there, I think there's an ever-present danger. Whenever you say that to anyone for any purpose, in my opinion, you're in trouble. That you should not say that to your parents unconditionally. You should not say it to a spouse. You should not say it to a boss. You should not say it to a government. You should not say it to someone who claims to be a prophet.
And a true prophet would not expect us to respond that way.
I would agree with that.
Yep. In fact, within Adventist history, and I think it's very important here, there are numerous occasions when Ellen White, people would come to Ellen White asking her to solve problems, and she would refuse to take a stand, simply because she did not want to be in a position where everybody turned to her, what does the prophet have to say? She said, there is a work for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's fairly crucial. The prophet wants us to interact with one another and with the Spirit.
But I want to know why you're interested in the possibility of different levels of authority amongst prophets.
The question of authority comes up when we have a modern prophet, a non-canonical one, such as Ellen White would certainly claim to be. How does that relate to the authority of the biblical prophets?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking here of the tendency of very devout people within the Adventist community who simply say, but Sister White says, and everything turns quiet, as if she had the last word.
Which would mean that in their mind she has, because she's closer to us in history, she has more authority than a canonical prophet.
That's right.
Okay.
And that really concerns me, that when we de facto say the last prophet has the last word.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think it's so very interesting in Adventist history, especially when it came to the interpretation of Scripture. Ellen White frequently refused to be drawn into the position of arbiter.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's go back and look at Scripture, because we have at least one example in Scripture of a living prophet who responded to a king and then had to come back the next day and say, oops. What does that tell us about the nature of prophetic authority? I'm thinking here of the story of Nathan. When you have Nathan standing before David when he committed his sin with Bathsheba, saying, you are the man, there was no way of avoiding that. But then there was the time when Nathan said, it's wonderful that you want to build a temple. Go ahead, build the temple. And then the next day, he had to come back and said, the Lord showed me that you're not really the one to build the temple. What does that tell us about the authority of a prophet and the possibility of a prophet maybe giving one message and then getting direct insight from the Lord that we ought to go a different direction?
I see at least two differences between these two stories, between these two contexts. In the first case, dealing with David's sin, Nathan was, according to the text, sent by the Lord to deliver a message, and an important message that had to do with David's spiritual state. In the second case, the two men were just relaxing, and David mentions this to Nathan, and Nathan gives an advice without necessarily praying about it and so on. And this second story did not deal with David's spiritual state directly.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an idea of building the temple, which was important in itself. We cannot deny that. And yet, I do find two different settings here.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the first case, Nathan was doing something which explicitly, according to the text, came from the Lord. And in the second case, I think that it was a different situation, different mm-hmm. setting.
Let me raise another question here, not so much what we would call prophets, but the wisdom literature. Proverbs, where you do have different advice to different situations, different circumstances, and this is not only true of biblical prophets, biblical wisdom literature, but elsewhere. Too many cooks spoil a broth, but many hands make light work. Which one is true? Depends upon the situation in the kitchen. See?
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a prophet saying, answer a fool according to his folly, or don't answer a fool according to his folly, that means that there are places where we have to make a decision. In fact, I face that decision every time I talk with a student. Shall I speak up or shall I shut up? Should I say more or should I say less? And where in Scripture does it give me the answer for that? It does not.
So that is why I believe it's risky to read the Bible, to try to explain it and apply it without relying on the help of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. And if we rely on the Holy Spirit and also are aware that we may be imperfect in our perception of the Spirit, then as a community, we can be self-correcting. If I speak with such great conviction, Stravko, that the Lord has spoken to me, and if I pound my table with sufficient emphasis, it's going to be very difficult for you to come back and say, well, Brother Thompson, I think that you weren't really being listening there.
I would also be tempted to discriminate a little between the topics. For example, in the case of David and Nathan, the idea of building the temple was crucial. Now, whether it was David who was to do it or Solomon, that issue did not have the same importance as the issue to build the temple. So I believe that the prophecy has a focus. It's not just guessing the numbers that will be drawn on the next lottery, but it's something that has to do with people's eternal life, relationship with God, and so on. So ultimately, we keep that in mind.
And there is no indication that David had any, that David's confidence in Nathan was shattered by this second message. He took it in stride. This is the kind of thing that you would expect. You know, there's an interesting reference from Ellen White that I think is really very revealing. She's writing to a brother. It's in her testimonies to the church. She's writing to a brother who tends to have very clear-cut convictions. He says, you need to educate yourself that you may have wisdom to deal with minds. You should with some have compassion making a difference, while others you may say with fear, snatching them out of the fire. Our Lord frequently leaves us in uncertainty in regard to our efforts. See, and it is that last one that I think is important, a community of believers where we may have strong convictions, but we need to leave it open so that Brother Dave here can talk to me, that Brother Stravko can talk to me, and we can talk to one another and say, Brother Thompson, here is something that we need you need to think about.
You see, I think we have to get away from the idea that the Bible is a prescriptive device that will give us an answer for everything. Reason is not the enemy of faith. You have to use sanctified reason, guided by the principles and the stories that you see in the Bible, but you do have to draw conclusions of your own that are not spoken to sometimes.
And let me just develop here, because once I realized this, it really transformed the nature of my devotional life. Because once I realized that there is nothing in the Bible that tells me explicitly what I should talk about on this particular Good Word broadcast. Now, the only part of me that I can use to make that decision is my head, my reason. Now, I know my reason is crooked, potentially crooked. For that very reason, I need to be very upfront and saying, Lord, I need the guidance of your Spirit to come and guide me. And so if I do it that way, then there's a touch of humility which allows my brothers and sisters in Christ to come in there. And if each of us has gone through that particular process, then we have that marvelous statement that you find in Acts chapter 15, the Jerusalem conference. It's such a marvelous way that believers in Christ carry on work. It seemed clear to the Holy Spirit and to us that when you come together and pray together, that is really the crucial word. But our time is running out, so we'll have to wait until next week to carry this one. Next week, we will talk about the integrity of the prophetic gift. And my colleagues, Dave and Stravko, will be my conversation partners again. My thanks to Josiah Hackerott, our program engineer, and to all of you for listening in. For The Good Word, I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.